The guy in the back is controlling the sound, so if I get too long, I trust he'll just shut it off. So I do appreciate the opportunity to come and to share. My wife Martha and I moved into the Pittsburgh area in May, and we've spent a lot of years in ministry now. School, I was called into the ministry a little later in life, in my 30s, and then we went to school, spent 15 years in Papua New Guinea as missionaries, lived out in the bush, learned the tribal language, and lived right with them. No electricity, no roads, no phones, no nothing. Yeah. Just about the way our forefathers lived around here not too many years ago. And so it was nice that both of us had grown up on the farm and just were kind of used to that. And then we came back and I pastored First Baptist Church Max Creek for 16 years and a little bit. So that's where we're at in our life. And if I drop something, just don't pay any attention. I have no feeling in my hands or in my feet. I've got idiopathic peripheral neuropathy. The idiopathic means they don't know what causes it. And the doctor said, yeah, it means we're idiots. And I wanted to agree, but I didn't. And but I get along pretty good. And they told me I should be in a wheelchair, but they said, how do you walk? And I said, God. You know, he allows me to walk. We've got two boys and four grandkids, all four of them, three boys and one girl, all of them rotten. So, you know, just once you know, we're just like most of the other people around. This morning, I want to speak on A Light Has Dawned. And it's, if you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, turn to Isaiah chapter 9. And we're going to look at the first seven verses. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. God has, all through time, has spoken to us. He has, from the very beginning of creation, He knew what was going to happen. He knew the end before he ever started out. And I look around today and I think, man, if I were God, just be glad I'm not God. But if I were God and I knew the end and I could look and see us, I wouldn't have started it. It's like, no way would I have started into this kind of a mess. So if you're able, would you stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word as we read Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. As when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her. By the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, in the Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the days of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel for fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you again this morning, we want to thank you and praise you for the beauty of the day that you've given us. But more than anything, Lord, we want to thank you for that child that's been born unto us. Father, that we have been grafted in. Father, what a blessing it is to know that you provided the perfect sacrifice, because we could never live a perfect, sinless life. And that sacrifice, your son lived and died a perfect life. Lord, he paid for our sins. Now, will we just accept it? And having accepted, will we do our very best to walk in it, in the light, in the way that you have laid before us? Now, Father, I would ask that you hide me behind the cross of Christ, that you and you alone are heard this morning. And it is in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. You can be seated. This is a message of hope to Israel. Not only is it a message of hope, but it's a message of freedom. They're promised and they're told of the freedom that is to come. Now, Israel, as I'm sure you know, all through time, God is always faithful. And Israel and us, what do? We turn our backs, we sin, we go our own way. But God never changes. He's always faithful. He's always there. And he's promising Israel that there's going to come an end to the bondage. He's bringing a message of joy and peace, a message of light and love. And that's a promise for future Israel. And it stands as a promise to us today too. It's not only a message of hope. If we know that Christ is our Savior, it can be a present reality right now. If you know Christ is your Savior, you have everything. You may not have it as far as being able to grasp it. You don't sit in it. You don't live in it. We're not in heaven yet. But it is a reality to everyone that knows Christ as their Savior, that has accepted it. We know that it's here within us. We can have that peace. The first thing I want to look at is the dawn of God's light will bring relief for the distressed. That's kind of the way it starts in verse 1. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. Well, the nation of Israel was living in distress. Where were they at? They were in captivity. Here, they've come out of captivity, but they're still living in distress. So I would like to ask you, maybe challenge you, are we in distress today as the United States of America, as the world, the whole world? We're in distress. And people around us are in distress. You don't have to go very far. Just talking to people, there is distress. Well, it's getting a little bit better, but there was distress every time you went to the gas pump. And, you know, still is to a degree now. We live in distress when you go to the grocery store and you go, "What? You've got to be kidding me. That's what they want for a head of lettuce?" I mean, seriously, have you looked at the price of lettuce lately? It's crazy. What was it? Two heads for $5?
$7 to Five Star last week.
$7. It was like for one head. It's like, are you kidding me? But that's the world that we live in now. We need to understand that. Now, the Jews today, they're living in their own country. since 1948. They've been liberated from a lot of the bondage that they were in, you know, all over Europe, Asia, the Middle East. They were in bondage. Now they've been delivered. We don't know what all that they went through, really. We do not know. Why did they end up there? They refused to obey God. Most of them still that live in the land of Israel today, they refuse to obey God. They do not believe that the Messiah, the Son of God, has ever been born. They just refuse that. But today, talking about us, that's what we need to do, is apply God's word to our lives. We're a stressed people. We're emotionally stressed. We're stressed mentally. There's more mental problems. Now, I am not politically correct, just in case you're wondering or anything like that. I just am not. And when it comes to, they want to make all these gun laws, but that gun did not do anything. It was the person that had a hold of it. And I believe, and I could be wrong, I've been wrong once or twice in my life, I believe that it's mental stress, it's mental problems that cause people to do the things they do. I grew up playing cowboys and Indians and cops and robbers, and I mean, we'd shoot each other and, "You're dead." "No, I'm not. You missed me." And you know, I'm sure most of you understand how that went. But you can't even hardly do that today. We're under a lot of stress. Mentally, I think we bring it on ourselves. For us today, the realization of, or the dawn of God's light in our hearts and lives and our minds will bring relief from our stress and distress. There's no stress relief like coming to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Remember back to the day you accepted Christ as your Savior. Was that relief? You were forgiven. Now, I can't speak for you. I don't know you, but I know the same. You're made out of the same cookie dough I was made out of. And, you know, I like to tell everybody I was nearly perfect, but not quite. I had a lot of things to be forgiven for. And I would like to say that once I was saved, I never sinned again. But that's not true either. But God forgives us of all of our sins, past, present, and future, when we accept Christ as our Savior. So that should take care of a lot of stress right there. It should really take care of a lot of stress. How can salvation bring stress relief? When my stress is caused by all these things that are not spiritual, well, I hate to tell you this, but you were made, God made you a spiritual animal. Every one of us has a spirit. We have a spirit that lives within us. And as when we accept Christ as our Savior, His Spirit comes to live within us. And it changes our spirit. Our spirit, we get rid of a lot of the problems that's going on, the stress that's taking place today. We don't do the things we did before when after we're saved. That is, if we're really saved. I know I'm not the fruit inspector. God is the fruit. He's the one. But I can look and say, you know, that guy, well, he said he got saved, but he hasn't changed any. He still goes to the same old bars. He still does the same old things. There should be a change in our life when we accept Christ as our Savior. The second thing I want to look at is the dawn of God's light will bring honor for the humbled. The Israelites of Isaiah's time walked under the shadow of death and captivity. They were humbled people. Now, there's different ways of being humbled. You can have humility. You can be an humble person, and it's a good thing. You can be humbled when you play in a basketball game or a, like the U.S. got humbled yesterday by the Netherlands in that soccer match. You know, those are two different kinds of being humbled. But God can give you honor with humility. And He does through Jesus Christ. But the dawn of God's light will bring honor to them, to the Jews, even if they will accept God's word, if they will follow God's word. They do really well. In fact, they're very legalistic up to a certain point. And then it's like, well, now that just hasn't happened today. But today we're all under a sentence of death. Maybe it's worse than death because we don't really die. Stop and think about it. When we quit breathing here on this earth, it doesn't matter if we're saved or not. When we die here, our spirit's going one place or another. It's either going to be with the Lord or it's going to hell. You know, that's, you got two choices. There's not a third or a fourth or half a dozen others. You got two. Where are you? Man, you make the choice. God allows you. Some people say, no, He forced me to make the choice. God, but you will make a choice on where you go. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're sentenced to eternity in hell. But the dawn of God's light has provided forgiveness, a full pardon, not a partial pardon. Nothing, you know, it's not like when, well, okay, you're on probation. We'll see how you do. No, when you accept Christ as your Savior, it's a full pardon. Part of that forgiveness is adoption. Have you ever stopped and thought how awesome that is? That you, if you know Christ as your Savior, that you and Christ are brothers. I mean, you've been adopted by the King. How? To me, that's pretty awesome because I know me. And I go, well, Jesus, you got the short end of that stick. Because I don't match up to you, to who you are, to all that you are. He chose. Did Christ have to go to the cross? No, He didn't have to, but He did. He even asked God, if it be your will, can this cup pass from me? But then He said, your will be done. He did God's will. He loved us that much. You know, when they were saying horrible things about Him as He hung dying on the cross for our sins, could He have called, as that old song goes, called 10,000 angels? Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, God could call one of His angels, or Christ could call one of His angels, and that'd be enough. He'd take Him off the cross and wipe out everybody there that was saying things they shouldn't have been. We will be co-heirs with Christ. You look, go around the lake or wherever, and you see big fancy homes, and I go, that's mine. They're just taking care of it. Yeah, it's going to be burned up, but you know, God's going to make me a better home. Romans chapter 8 verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. We're going to be glorified together with Him. That's an honor. Let's look at the dawn of God's light will bring joyful blessing. No matter how you cut it, God has blessed and protected Israel. And I would advise, of course, they'll never listen to any of us, but I would advise all those countries in the Middle East, all the countries around the world that hate Israel, don't jump on them, because you're going to be jumping off real fast. Because God's going to protect them. He's promised that He would. God has blessed and He has protected Israel. And a lot of times when bad things happen, people just go, well, I don't see how He's blessed them. Yes, it could be a lot worse. The same as we may think, well, how is it that I can't go to the bank and get a loan, but so-and-so down the road here, he's had three or four houses mysteriously burned when the insurance papers and the mortgage got to rubbing together and caused spontaneous combustion, as one of the old hillbillies said. You know, and he can go down to the bank and get all the loans he wants. How is that? That's just not right. Why does God allow that? Because God knows the end. He knows what is best for you, even though you may not. I don't know what's best for me. I think I do, but I don't. My wife will attest to that fact. I don't. He's multiplied Israel. He's increased their joy even in the midst of sorrow. Likewise, I believe God blessed and has blessed the United States of America. And I believe that, you know, you can argue with me, that's fine. You'll be wrong, but when our country began, what was everything founded on? It's founded on God's Word. That's what it was founded on. The Ten Commandments were huge. Now we don't even want them displayed anyplace. Our laws came basically from the Ten Commandments. You look at all the things that God, how He blessed our country. Yeah, we had problems. We definitely had problems. I don't know, well, there's other countries have civil wars, but not as bloody as ours. But God still blessed us. Sometimes we have to learn the hard way. I don't know about you, but those are the lessons I learned and remember the most, is when I learned it the hard way. Now, you guys may not have a clue what I'm talking about, but I have an idea you do. You know, when mom and dad said, do this, don't do that, and you did that, but not this. Dad had a real way of impressing upon me that I had made a serious mistake, and you know what? It was a painful mistake. Sin has consequences. I don't know how many times he taught, sin has consequences, and you sinned. So, okay. Recently, however, I think the United States has, we've turned our back on those principles. And you have to just willfully hide your eyes and refuse to look, not to see the actions, the results of our actions. We're paying for what we've done. And a lot of Christians, a lot of churches say, wait a minute, I don't agree with any of that. But how strongly did we stand up against things when they started going wrong? How strongly do we stand up today against things that we know are not right? Did God say, oh, you can't stand up against bad things? He didn't say that. He didn't say that at all. Did Christ ever stand up against bad things? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Christ wasn't actually well-loved. His ministry here on the earth was not something, his resume would not resonate with a lot of the churches today. Well, look, he was run out of this town. They tried to kill him here. Why? We don't want somebody like that. Look at the Apostle Paul. You look at his resume. If you somebody sent, you're looking for a pastor, if somebody sent Paul's resume, didn't tell you who it was, just sent the actions and the things, what he had been and what he had become and everything. A lot of churches go, I don't want nothing to do with that guy. Can God do a miracle in everybody's life? Absolutely he can. And he does on a daily basis. Even in the midst of this, I think we're living in the last days. They're coming. You see the signs. Jesus said, open your eyes. Look, you see the signs. You know when spring's coming. You know when summer's coming. You know when the seasons are coming. You know those because of the signs that you can see. Well, he gave us all the signs, and if all we have to do is look and see what's coming. But I believe if a person, a church, a community, a state, a country, county, whatever, will stand firm in light of God's Word, that's the hard part, the standing firm, that He will bless and prosper them, and He will protect them in the midst of all of this. The fourth thing I want to look at is the dawn of God's light. You've noticed that these all start out with the dawn of God's light will bring freedom for the oppressed. The Jews, as we've said before, were oppressed down through time. And God has given us that promise, and it applies to us today. As the light of God's Word dawns in our hearts and lives, He breaks the yoke of bondage, sin, and the rod of the oppressor. And who is our oppressor? Satan. That's the one that's behind all of this. Matthew 11, chapter 11, verses 29 through 30 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But how many people really want to take Christ's yoke upon them? You know what a yoke is, what they put around the neck of an oxen, just like an old horse collar. And when you put that on, you're ready to pull. Do, is it the easy work? No, it's the hard work. You know, they show the pictures and they usually focus on the poor old guy back there with the reins wrapped around his shoulders and holding onto that plow, hoping he doesn't hit a stump or something like that, plowing out across there. And the sweat pouring off of him. And I'm not saying that it wasn't hard for him, but what about that oxen? What about that mule? That's probably the one we should be equated with, an old mule. The horse, whatever it is that's pulling that, swishing his tail against the flies, pulling back and forth and back and forth. Is there anything glorious about that? No, it's the hard work. It is the hard work. Now, you're looking for a pastor, and God has one for you. But I want to challenge you with, what are you ready to do? As a church, as individual members of the church, because we're all living stones fitted in. God's placed you here in this church to do something. I don't know what it is, but God does. And He should be giving you pretty good hints on what it is. Okay, you're a block, maybe you're just a block in the wall, but you're holding up the wall. Nothing glorious about it. Your name won't be up in lights or anything, but it's all about being faithful. Faithful to what God has given you to do. We need to be faithful. We need to be about taking God's yoke, Christ's yoke upon us, and doing the hard work. Oh, I know nobody really wants to hear that, but that's the facts. The dawn of God's light will bring peace for the earth. The day is coming. It is coming when the bride of Christ will know true peace. We are the bride of Christ. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're part of the bride of Christ. I usually tell the men, guys, get ready to get in touch with your feminine side because we're the bride of Christ. You know, I just kind of somehow, it's hard for an old redneck to take those things. Don't call me a bride, but I'm glad. The bride of Christ, and we're going to know true peace. For Christ will reign for 1,000 years, followed by the final conflict, and after that, eternity in heaven. I can only imagine. Whoever wrote that song, boy, they nailed it. I can only imagine. I don't know. I've heard people say, well, it's going to be this way. It's going to be that way. It's like when you get into Revelation and people are saying, well, this is this and this is that and that's a tank and that's a helicopter and that's, you don't know. I don't know. God is the only one that knows. The best thing we can do with His Word is just take it as it says and go on. And if you make a mistake, God knew it. He'll straighten it out. Don't worry about it. But yeah, don't be trying to make things that we really don't know. It's just like when everybody's like, this is the day that it's going to happen. This is the date. If they say that, I figure, no, that's not the day it's going to happen. Because God said, nobody knows. Christ said, I don't even know. The Father in heaven, He's the only one that knows. I don't. Well, if Christ doesn't know, then we sure don't know. But today, we can know that inward peace. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace that only comes from knowing Christ as your Savior. In the midst of all the crime and hate and war, God's light will give you the peace of knowing that you have a home in heaven for eternity, and that's a long time. That's a long time. There's no peace like it. And you can know that peace right now. It's internal. All the stuff that's going around, you know, don't look at your bank account for peace. Look to God for peace. And finally, I want to close with the dawn of God's light will come because a child is born. A baby is born. That child is Christ the Lord, the only begotten Son of God. Do you realize that control of all the governments are in His hand? The president, all in Greek means the same as it does in English, all the senators, all the representatives, and you can say, well, surely not that one. That's not it. He's not in God's control, or she's not in God's control. Yes, she is. I don't understand it. I don't. If I did, I could write a book and make a million. But then God would go, no, you blew that one. Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And even though it's not acknowledged, God is in control of everything. He's just allowing this corrupt old earth to come to its prophesied end. What did God, say it was going to get better and better and better? No, He said it's going to get worse and worse. Here's the part that, and I know it's true, but it just, well, okay, I don't have much of a mind to boggle, but it boggles my mind when he says it will be as it was in the days of Noah. Well, you stop and think, how was it in the days of Noah? God could find how many righteous? 10, 15, 20? No, one. I don't understand that. And, you know, God's the one that's in control. God's word is true, and everything that He said would happen will happen. And as I said earlier, only a purposely willingly blind person can't see what's taking place today. God's control and the peace that is part of all of that will continue for eternity. Today, we can say the dawn of God's light came because a child was born. And we're celebrating. This needs to be a celebration this time of the year. Now, I know we don't know exactly the day that He was born. It doesn't matter. He was born. That's the main thing. Jesus came to be our Counselor, our Mighty God, our Eternal Father, our Prince of Peace. He came to be all those things, and He is all those things. He came to bring hope, the light of hope, to a darkened and hopeless, helpless world. The question is, will we accept it or will we reject it? Will we accept what God gave us in Christ? Will we place our faith in Him? Our faith better not be in the Southern Baptist Convention. Our faith better not be in the Missouri Baptist Convention or in the Baptist Church, wherever it may be. It better not be there. Our faith needs to be in Jesus Christ, amen, the Son of God. Will you accept it or will you reject it? Will you allow the dawn of God's light to enter your heart and soul? Will you allow it to control your life? That's the hard part, turning loose of control. Because down deep, most of us are control freaks. We want it our way. No, I don't care what they say. This is the way it's going to be. No. Will you accept that gift that only you can open? Your mama can't open it for you. Your daddy can't open it for you. Your brother, your sister, your best friend, your spouse cannot open it for you. That gift is given. What does God's word say? He died for all. All. For everyone. Only when you reject that and you pass from this life, or God calls you home or returns, and you have not accepted that gift, think about it. That's when your name is blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelations tells you very clearly your name's there because if Christ died for everybody, but it will be blotted out if you refuse it. What a gift. What a precious gift. The dawn of God's light. We're walking in the light. We just don't know it sometimes. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We praise You. We thank You for Your word and the promises that it brings and the joy and the hope that it brings. Father, I just pray for this church as they seek for a pastor. And Father, I pray for each person in it and the ones that are going to be coming that don't even know they're going to be coming to this church. That, Lord, You would work, that You would draw them to Yourself and that they would respond. Father, You're in control. We don't understand all of these things, and it's probably a good thing we don't. Lord, lead us and guide us. Love us in spite of ourselves. And it is in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.